This morning I'm going to be teaching from the Proverbs. If you have a Bible with you this morning, please open it to Proverbs, the 8th chapter. If you do not have a Bible with you today, if you would lift your hand, one of the ushers will bring you one. It will be difficult for you to follow today if you don't have a Bible with you. Please always, when you come, bring your Bible. But if you don't be embarrassed to ask an usher when you come in for a Bible so that you can follow along. Here are the ushers with some Bibles. Anybody else need a Bible? You need to follow this morning. I have very much I want to say to you today. I don't believe that we're going to be able to do it all this morning. I dislike breaking a message in two, but I'm just concerned that based on what I have, the revelation that I have today, and the extent of God's Word that He's given me for us today, there's no way that I could bring it to you just this morning. I'm going to be doing a teaching rather than a preaching today, and we'll ask the Lord to give us a convenient place this morning to break into the message and without making it incomplete, then we'll pick it up tonight and finish it off. Let me say ahead of time that it will be important for you, if you're unable to be at the evening service tonight, it will be important for you to get the tape and listen to it. You know, nobody likes half a movie. And when you only see half a movie, you really don't understand the movie. You try to tell somebody else about that movie only having seen half of it, you are not going to give an accurate review. And so it will be important for you to form a judgment about what we're doing today. You know, it will be important for you to have access to all of the information. I'm sorry to have to break it for those who are unable to be here tonight, but we do have the tape ministry available, and tapes, of course, are always available from the sound room for you to purchase for yourself or for use in your own personal ministry. But if you desire not to do that, the tapes are always available in the library for you to check out at no charge. Proverbs chapter 8, beginning in the first verse, the cry of God in the name of wisdom. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates in the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. In other words, wisdom is everywhere crying out to the people. She is where the people are, trying to get their attention. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Talking now about wisdom. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. And then if you'll turn back a few pages to the 4th chapter, we'll read several verses here, beginning with the 5th. Get wisdom. Very strong. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. That's where wisdom comes from. It's from the words of God. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall love thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor, when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Now in these passages, as well as others, especially in the Proverbs, but elsewhere in the Word of God, we hear the cry from the heart of God to get wisdom. We are instructed to obtain wisdom, and we are advised that wisdom is more important than all of the rest of the desires of the world all put together. Since the cry of wisdom is thus, therefore we can assume that one, wisdom is an obtainable thing. We can have it if we want it. It is something that we can appropriate if we desire to do so. We can, in fact, become and be wise. Otherwise, God would not have given such a clear cry. Secondly, we must understand that because of the way the call is expressed, that we must purpose in our hearts to obtain wisdom. And there are some conditions which have to be met. And thirdly, we must understand that some never do obtain wisdom. Since it is not something that falls upon Christians or unbelievers like the rain falling from heaven. We find in the Word of God that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The sun shines on the good and the evil. But wisdom does not come dripping down from heaven like tiny rivulets and droplets of rain and fall upon everyone regardless of their desire or regardless of their tenacity or their persistence. Wisdom is something that must be sought for. It is something that must be obtained. It's something that has got to be grabbed a hold of. Jesus said that the kingdom of God was such that the violent take it by force. And this very important principle is something that must be taken by the people of God. It is not automatically ours in terms of our operating wisely and operating in wisdom. Now the book of the Proverbs, and we're going to be talking about this today, describes basically three kinds of people with regard to their condition as regards to wisdom. The Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to confine ourselves to Proverbs today, although these passages are, there are other passages on the subject elsewhere, but we're going to stay right in the Proverbs. There's so much there that I couldn't possibly give you in a day. I couldn't give you in a week everything that's in here. But we're going to have a crash course today in this subject. There are basically three kinds of people in the Proverbs who are described on the basis of their wisdom. The first category of people are the wise, those who have obtained wisdom. The second are the simple, and the third are the fools. And within the category of the fool, you have the wise, the simple, and the fool, and within the category of the fool, you have a 3A kind of. He's a man called a scorner. He is a type of a fool. We're going to talk about him today at some length. First of all, I want us to examine the wise. There are three basic words in the Proverbs that are translated wise. They all mean to be wise in word or in mind or in act. It means to be circumspect. It means to distinguish and perceive things correctly. William Wilson, in his Old Testament word studies, declares that a wise person has the knowledge to discriminate between good and evil. Listen to that. Wisdom is the quality of being able to discriminate between good and evil. He knows the difference, and he exercises good judgment. Now we're going to begin in chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs, and I want us to see a description of a wise person. What determines a person's wisdom? What circumscribes the qualities of a wise man? I'm going to give you 11 qualities this morning. I'm sure there are others. These are some that jumped out to me in my study. First of all, if you have a piece of paper and a pencil, you might jot these down. It will be helpful because we're going to have to move rather quickly. First of all, a wise man is one who is open to instruction and counsel. A wise man will receive counsel and he will receive instruction. Proverbs 1:5 records that a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Chapter 8 and verse 33, we are commanded to hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. A wise man will listen to instruction and he will not refuse it, and that is one of the qualities that a wise man will have. He will become wiser. Chapter 9 and verse 9. This insight. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. A wise man has never had his wisdom fully saturated. He is always open to additional instruction, and through that instruction he becomes wiser. Chapter 19 and verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. The second thing that constitutes a wise person is that he is willing to listen to reproof. When he is reproved or corrected, he listens. Chapter 15 and verse 5. Give us some insight there. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent or wise. A wise man will regard reproof and not just throw it away. The 31st verse in the same chapter. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. As a matter of fact, we're told in the 29th chapter in the 15th verse about children, that the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And so reproof to a wise man brings additional wisdom. And so we find that the second quality of a wise man is he listens to reproof. Now, as we are going through these, I want you to watch for qualities that describe you. I am not nearly as concerned today that you would try to identify everybody else in the church. I want you to identify yourself. And so listen to these scriptures and let the Word of God categorize you with regard to whether you are wise, simple, fool, or perhaps even scorner. We've said that a wise man is open to instruction and counsel, and secondly, that he is willing to listen to reproof. The third thing we see is that when a wise man is reproved, that he responds in love. The 9th chapter and the 8th verse say it this way. And you'll notice as we're reading these scriptures that some of the other people that are described here are also included in these verses. You want to note that as we're going through. Some of them we'll be coming back to, but you want to note it as we're going through. But I'm concentrating right now on the wise. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Reprove a wise man, and he will love thee. A wise man is a man who regards reproof and responds to that one who reproves him, or those ones that reprove him, in love. And that is a distinguishing characteristic, as you can see here, between a wise man and one who's on the other end of the spectrum, a scorner. Fourthly, a wise man receives God's word and keeps it. Chapter 10 and verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. The Living Bible says shall fall flat on his face. A wise man receives God's word and keeps it. Chapter 28 and verse 7, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. He not only hears the word, but he is also determined to keep it. Fifthly, and I think this is an interesting comparison, in the 14th chapter of the first verse, we find that a wise man is a builder rather than a destroyer. How many of you will acknowledge that it's easier to tear something down than it is to build it up? Do you realize that? It's much easier to destroy than to build. And there are people that way too. There are those that for whom it is very easy to destroy, but a wise man is a builder. He's a constructor. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Now here's a comparison between the wise, who is a builder, and a foolish person who is constantly tearing down and constantly destroying. You're beginning to get some of the flavor of Solomon's wisdom here. Sixthly, the 10th chapter reveals that a wise man has his mouth under control. Chapter 10 and verse 19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. A wise man has his lips or his mouth under control. He can stop it when he wants to. The second verse of chapter 15 tells us that the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. He uses the knowledge that he has correctly. In other words, he doesn't let his mouth overload himself. But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness, always going and just pouring out all kinds of foolishness, pouring out everything that they know. Number 7, a wise man speaks good words. Chapter 12 and verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. How many of you have ever had words pierce you, have watched words pierce you? But the tongue of the wise is health. The Living Bible says soothing and healing. The tongue of a wise man will not pierce like a sword and destroy, but will soothe and will heal. The 15th chapter and the 7th verse. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. In other words, the words that he speaks are good words. And these are distinguishing characteristics of a man whom the Bible describes, or a woman whom the Bible describes, as wise. 8th, a wise man speaks sparingly. Chapter 12 and verse 23, a prudent man concealeth knowledge. It is wise not to say everything you know. It is wisdom to conceal certain things. But the heart of the fools proclaimeth foolishness, speaking everything without regard to the effect that it will have. And the 29th chapter, the 11th verse, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. A wise man knows when to keep his mouth shut. A fool does not. 9th, this I think is very important, is in the 13th chapter, the 20th verse. The Word of God tells us that a wise man will keep company with other wise men. You've heard me say from time to time from this pulpit that if a man is quacks like a duck and looks like a duck and walks like a duck and is constantly seen in the company of other ducks, that it is very likely that he's a duck. The same principle is true of a wise man. If he looks like a wise man, if he talks like a wise man, if he acts like a wise man, and he is constantly seen in the company of other wise men, you have a very good chance of drawing a correct conclusion when you label him as a wise man. Not a wise aleck now, but a wise man. Verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Here's the opposite. Parents, what kind of children do you want your children to have as friends? Do you want them to take fools as their friends? Because they'll become like fools. Or do you want them to emulate and have fellowship with wise men so that they'll be thusly? 10th, this is in the 14th chapter, the 16th verse, a wise man fears evil and departs from it. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident or self-confident. This can't hurt me. I know I can handle this. The wise man understands the danger of evil and he flees from it. The fool rushes in, so to speak, where angels fear to tread. A wise man has a holy and a healthy respect for evil, lest it attach itself to him and he be ensnared by it. In the 20th chapter, we see the 11th point I want to make in describing a wise person, establishing some of the qualities of a wise man. Now, we're going to do this for these other categories as well, and I believe you'll begin to see the contrast as we go. And I do hope that you're taking some notes as we're going, because it will be very difficult for you to get the full impact of what I'm trying to give you when I've been studying this for many hours over many weeks to prepare to bring this message. And so you're not going to get it in 30, 45 minutes or whatever time we have here today, this morning and this evening, unless you're going to have to get some direction from what I'm sharing. And then if it's meaningful to you, you're going to have to go do some digging on your own. In chapter 20, verse 26, the wise man hates evil and he will deal sharply with it. Verse 26. A wise king, talking here about a king now, who has responsibility for his kingdom, and this particular king is described as wise. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the weal over them. He hates evil. He will not allow it to operate in his kingdom, and he scatters the wicked and runs his weal over them. In other words, he puts it completely away. That's wisdom. Now, let's take a little different tack here, and let's begin to investigate the reward that comes to the wise. What has God promised the wise man? The one who will seek after counsel and instruction and acquire knowledge and get wisdom, it being the principal thing. What are the promises? What is the reward? Why is it worth it for us to seek after and to press in and to obtain it? First of all, in the third chapter, in the 35th verse, we're told that the wise shall inherit glory. I like that. The wise shall inherit glory. The Amplified Bible amplifies that to say all honor and good. The Living Bible uses the word blessing to describe this. And so one of the rewards to the wise is that his inheritance is blessing, honor, and good. I think if that was all, it would be well worth our effort to acquire wisdom, don't you think? To get the Word of God to become such a part of us, receiving Jesus as our Savior, who is our wisdom, and allowing His Spirit to impart understanding and revelation in the wisdom, the Word of God, into our life, so that we are able to discern the difference between good and evil, so that we are able to exercise good judgment, so that we are able to think and act and speak in a circumspect and a wise way. That's what wisdom is. In the 10th chapter, and parents, you want to watch this one in the first verse. Another reward of a wise person is that he will have a glad-hearted family. He'll have glad-hearted parents. Verse 1 in chapter 10, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise man maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness or the grief of his mother. A wise man will have glad-hearted parents. I think that's a real benefit. Thirdly, a wise man will enjoy preeminence. A wise man will enjoy preeminence. We see that in several places. First of all, in chapter 11, verse 29, these words, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be the servant to the wise of heart. The wise man will have the preeminent position and the fool will serve him. Secondly, let's look in the 14th chapter also, the 35th verse. 14th chapter, 35th verse. This helped me to understand some things, and perhaps it will you too. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. Now, the one who causes shame, we'll examine this this evening, I think. The one that causes shame is the fool and the scorner. Well, let's see the scriptures that demonstrate that. The king's wrath is turned towards the one that causes shame, the one that brings reproach. But his favor is toward a wise servant. A wise man will have preeminence. He will be regarded highly by those that are in authority. A wise child will have favor with his father. A wise citizen will have favor with his government. A wise wife will have favor with her husband. A wise church member will have favor with his pastor, with his elders. But one that brings shame will incur wrath. A wise man will have favor. I sense that happening in my own life. I did not know what I was observing, but I observe wisdom in certain people, and I observe foolishness in others. And I have a drawing toward the wise, and I have not quite the same drawing towards the fool. Now, that doesn't mean that love is not operating towards every one of those people. This is talking not about love. It is talking about favor. Say it with me, favor. Not love, favor. Do you understand the difference? The wise man will have preeminence. Proverbs the 17th chapter and the 2nd verse. Here's another aspect of preeminence. We could actually, beloved, take every one of these verses and take one verse, and we could bring a message on that one verse. What I'm trying to do today, as I told you, was give you a crash course in this particular subject, hopefully to encourage you to dig into this more deeply yourself. The 17th chapter and the 2nd verse. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. A wise servant, while he has no right to the inheritance, if he is wise-hearted, he will be given preeminence over the foolish son. And so, even though your station in life may not be as high as someone else, and perhaps you don't have the same rights as someone else does in a particular aspect of your life, if you are wise, you can rise above the foolish who has a stronger claim upon the blessing. Do you understand that? The wise man will have preeminence in all of his circumstances. Proverbs 3 and 13 gives us the 4th reward. It's a very short verse, at least the first part of it. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. The whole world wants happiness. The entire world is seeking after it. They're seeking after it in so many different ways. Very few of them are successful. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. And so one of the most important rewards to the wise is happiness. The 5th reward to the wise is strength. How many of you would say today, I want to be strong. I just want to be strong. I want to be a strong person. Not that I want to be a muscle man, but I want to be a strong person. I want to be able to fend off the things that used to attack me because of my weakness would put me under. I want the strength to stand. Proverbs 24 and verse 5, these words, a wise man is strong. Hallelujah. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. And then the 21st chapter, the 22nd verse, a wise man scaleth the city of the mighty. In other words, he may not be as strong as the strong. He may not be as mighty as the mighty, but his wisdom gives him superior strength. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Wisdom is more important than strength. Wisdom is more important than might, for wisdom will always overwhelm might. Chapter 28 and verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. I like that one. Whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. No matter what he may tumble into, what may attach itself to him, if he is wise, there is the promise of deliverance. You may not be walking in it today, but you can have it if you'll seek wisdom from God's word. And then in the 14th chapter, the 8th verse, this final reward, at least the ones that caught my attention, I'm sure there are others, but these are those that caught my eye. 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. I don't know about you, but I want to know where I'm going. I want to know why I'm going there. God's word says that the wisdom of the wise is to understand his way. One of the rewards to the wise is to have understanding in his way, to know where he's going and to know what he's doing. I believe that we're going to stop there. I think we're just going to stop right at that point, and tonight we'll deal with a simple, the fool, and the scorner. We're going to examine tonight what describes a simple man. What is a simple man like? When I say man, you know I mean woman, child, what have you. What is a simple person like? What are his qualities? What describes him? What kind of reward is he entitled to? And what guarantee does he have according to the Proverbs? And lastly, how do you minister to such a person? How do you help such a person? We're going to do the same thing for the fool and for the scorner. And then we're going to bring all of that together tonight and see the whole thing, the wise, the simple, and the fool. Let me ask you to bow your heads, if you will, please. Father, we want to thank you today for the assurance that we have from your word that wisdom, having the ability to discern between what is good and what is not good, the capacity to exercise good and sound judgment, is an attainable goal for us. That when we meet Jesus in a personal way, that he becomes our wisdom. He comes and lives on the inside of us, and then as we begin to and continue to study your word, as we continue to hear your word preached and taught, as we meditate in your word, the Spirit of Jesus in us causes the wisdom of your word to become one with us. We begin to think like you do. We begin to talk like you do. We begin to act like you do. And most importantly, we begin to speak with your words. Then we see wisdom manifested in us. What wonderful qualities you have described a wise man with. And what beautiful rewards there are to those who will diligently seek understanding from the Word of God, who will yield to the authority of God's word, who will allow the word of God, the wisdom of God, to have first place in their life, who will order their affairs circumspectly. So shall they find happiness. So shall they obtain preeminence. So shall they inherit glory, blessing, honor, and good. So shall they find favor with those who are responsible to have oversight over them. so shall they find peace and rest in their own hearts and minds. Each of us, Lord, have that option. We decide this morning, Father, to choose wisdom. We choose to be wise in heart. We choose to yield to your word, to allow your word to conform us and mold us, to allow your word to change us, to allow your word to drive out the conforming thoughts of our mind and to cause our mind to be transformed in a renewing, that we may prove and demonstrate what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. We thank you this morning, Father, for the insights which you have preserved for us from the heart and the mind and the pen of Solomon, the one to whom you had given wisdom in a measure greater than any man who had ever lived. We believe, Father, that you will impart that same wisdom to us as we seek after it, as we press in to obtain it. There is something special inside us. We're the body of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is within because Jesus has come to live there by his Holy Spirit. We have received Jesus by faith. Our hearts have been washed clean. We've become new creatures. We're new. Now within us is a beautiful potential to be something so much more than we ever could have been any other way. Not only do we have a ticket to heaven, but we also have a ticket to some glorious and wonderful things here in this life. We perceive that wisdom is the principal thing and that we are to desire it above everything else. It's to be desired more than gold. We know that wisdom comes through your word. I ask you, Father, to take the words that I've spoken this morning, give the same insight and revelation into the hearts of all those who hear them today. Let us all be of one heart and one mind to pursue after wisdom, for we have your guarantee that we shall obtain it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Father, we know that there is a church inside us, the church being the body of the Lord Jesus himself. We want to speak to this world concerning the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the kingdom of God. While we decide to seek, while we decide to press in, we depend upon your Spirit to honor that decision and to honor that desire, leading us in your paths everlasting. In the name of Jesus, we pray.